For the next two Thursdays, and whoop, got a lot of wind going here. And so you can thank Oliza for the class we're doing tonight. I said, should I do a class on Zechariah or on Hosea? She said, Zechariah. And I said, why Zechariah? She said, I don't know, because she knows more about the book or something. I can't remember. Yeah, all right. But we're going to do Hosea anyway. Because Zechariah, it's a tougher book. It takes 3 or 4 weeks to really get through it. And we could do Hosea. Either we'll do it all tonight, we'll see, or maybe we'll do it for 2 weeks, we'll see. So I want to talk a little bit then about Hosea, the Savior of Israel. Now, wait a minute. Hosea, the Savior of Israel? Right, Hosea, Joshua, Jesus, he's got the same name as Jesus. Hosea was a contemporary of Isaiah and Micah. Right, his time of prophesying was around 750, 735 B.C. He was a prophet to the northern kingdom. I assume most of you know what that is. The northern kingdom, that was the one that Jeroboam took over, and that was the one where they were just totally, totally caught up in sin. They worshipped Baal, and they worshipped Ashtoreth. And most of the early prophets actually preached to the northern kingdom. And their basic message was, judgment is coming on you guys unless you repent. So the name Hosea, like I said, comes from the same root as Joshua or Jesus. It means Savior or Deliverer. And really, Hosea is a prefigure of Jesus. Right, the story of Hosea, in many ways, is the story of Jesus. But anyway, the situation is, the theme of Hosea is our unfaithfulness to God, unfortunately, and God's gracious love for us. Really, the theme of Hosea is the grace of God. Now, some people think that in the Old Testament, it's judgment and legalism and works and all that sort of stuff. That is so wrong. Because the book of Hosea is completely about God's grace. Alright, so the situation, let's read about the situation. I already explained it a little bit. The northern kingdom was a total mess. These people were not being faithful to God. They were worldly in almost every way. Now they claimed they were Jews, and they continued Jewish worship and Jewish forms, and they did Jewish sacrifices, and they went to, you know, they had their thing there in Samaria. But they're kind of messed up. I'm going to read Hosea chapter 4, verse 1 through 3. Hear the word of the Lord, you Israelites, because the Lord has a charge to bring against you who live in the land. There is no faithfulness, no love, no acknowledgement of God in the land. There's only cursing, lying, and murder, stealing, and adultery. They break all bonds, and bloodshed follows bloodshed. Because of this, the land mourns. Oh, good. How do I... Oh, does it... Oh, wow. How's that work? Click. Awesome. So I can see both at the same time. Right, so I'm seeing what you're seeing. Does it say God's solution?
Yeah.
All right, good. Good. So we're seeing the same thing. All right, because of this, the land mourns and all who live in it waste away. The beasts of the field and the birds of the air and the fish. I don't know if I can do this with this wind here. The fish of the sea are dying. And so the people have gotten caught up in the wilderness. You know what? This description was your life and it was my life before God. Because really, the situation in Israel at the time was the situation all of us were in at one time. Like it says in Romans 3, you know, our mouths are open graves, and we look for ways to sin. We invented ways to sin. So obviously God is fed up with Israel and is going to have nothing more to do with her, right?
No.
Wrong. That's not correct. God has the solution for the problem. Is that your fingertip that just got taken off there? Alright. So Hosea 1 verse 1, the word of the Lord came to Hosea, son of Beeri, during the reign of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and during the reign of Jeroboam, son of Jehoash, king of Israel. When the Lord began to speak to Hosea, the Lord said to him, go take to yourself an adulterous wife and children of unfaithfulness. Because the Lord is guilty of the vilest adultery in departing from the land, Lord. So he married Gomer, wonderful name, Gomer, very feminine name, Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived and gave birth and bore him a son. So God says to Hosea to do exactly what he had done. He says, go marry an adulterous woman.
Wow.
How about you? Would you marry a woman that you knew was going to commit adultery?
No.
No. But that's what God did. That's how much God loves us. And it's also, by the way, what Hosea did. This guy had a lot of faith.
Yeah.
I mean, if God told me to do this, that, or the other thing, all right. But if he said, marry this prostitute. And as soon as you marry her, she's going to go back into prostitution. Now, here's a good question. This child she gave birth to, was he Hosea's child?
Maybe.
Who knows? All right, then the Lord said to Hosea, call him Jezreel. You say, okay, Jezreel, that's a great name. Well, there's some significance to Jezreel, because Jezreel is where the battle happened that completely destroyed Samaria. So basically saying, name him Judgment on Israel. What a great name. What's your name? Judgment. Call him Jezreel because I will soon punish the house of Jehu for the massacre at Jezreel, and I will put an end to the kingdom of Israel, and that day I will break Israel's bow in the valley of Jezreel. Gomer conceived again and gave birth to a daughter. Then the Lord said to Hosea, call her Lo-Ruhamah. All right, another really encouraging name. Because Lo-Ruhamah means not love. What's your name? Not love. What kind of parents do you have? I had a friend who was in my Bible talk many years ago. His name was Pride. I thought, man, what kind of parents would get Pride? I told him he should change his name. But see, the children were not love. The children were from an adulterous relationship. And really, before we were in God's kingdom, we were Lo-Ruhamah. We were outside of God's love. For I will no longer show love to the house of Israel, that I should at all forgive them. But I will show love to the house of Judah, I will save them, not by bow, sword, or battle, or by horses and horsemen, but by the Lord their God. After she had weaned Lo-Ruhamah, Gomer had another son. The Lord said, call him Lo-Ami. If you're not to call, you are not my people, and I am not your God. And Lo-Ami means not my people. So what do you call? I am Lo-Ami, not my people. Now, how many of you have been taking the Hebrews class from Ashley there, right? Apparently, lo means not.
Yeah.
So you know a little Hebrew now. Lo means not. And what's ben mean?
Son.
See, you know two Jewish words. Now, you're on the way. You're on your way. Lo means not. And Ben means son. So we're getting a little bit of Hebrew in here. And see, this was us at one time. We were the children of prostitutes, the children of sin. We were not God's people, and we were not loved. Hosea obeyed God. You know, the situation in our life was very depressing. Because everything that was in store for us was judgment and separation for eternity. Praise God for verse 10 and 11. All right. Because it's a little bit more encouraging. Oops. All right. So, let's read Hosea 1:10 through chapter 2, verse 1. Yet the Israelites would be like the sand on the seashore, which cannot be measured or counted. And the place where it was said to them, you are not my people, they would be called sons of the living God. Because they were so awesome? Because Gomer was such a faithful wife? Why? Because of God's love. The people of Judah and the people of Israel will be reunited. They will appoint one leader and will come up out of the land, for great will be the day of Jezreel. Say to your brothers, my people, and of your sisters, my loved one. And this is a prophecy about the kingdom of God, where Judah and Samaria will come back together. Everybody will be one people under God. It's a messianic prophecy. Those who are not loved will be loved. Those who are not God's people will be God's people. And again, this is the story of what God did for us. Because we messed up. We looked for ways to sin. We invented ways to sin. And yet God called us back into a relationship with Him. Now, chapter 2, 2 through 13 talks about what happens to those who do not come back into a relationship with God. And it's not such a good thing. Okay? Am I going to be... yes, it's good. So this kind of describes us before God loved us and called us back into a relationship with Him. I'm going to just read verse 5 through 8 because it's kind of a long section here. Their mother has been unfaithful and has conceived them in disgrace. She said, I will go after my lovers who give me my food and my water, my wool and my linen, my oil and my drink. Therefore, I will block her path with thorn bushes. I will wall her in so she cannot find her way. She will chase after her lovers, but not catch them. She will look for them, but not find them. Then she will say, I will go back to my husband as at first, for then I was better off than now. She has not acknowledged that I was the one who gave her the grain, the new wine, the oil, who lavished on her silver and gold, which they used for Baal. And that's what we did. We sold ourselves for stupid things. We sold ourselves for movies that didn't glorify God. We sold ourselves to lust. We sold ourselves to drunkenness. To a career before God. We sold out very cheaply. And yet, God had more to give to Gomer than she got from all these other lovers. You know, we sold ourselves out really cheap. We sold ourselves to Baal. We found other lovers. But you know what? The end of the story is pretty good. You know, the end of the story ends with but. And thank God for those buts. One T. Thank God for Hosea 2:14-23. See, the message of Hosea is encouragement. It's that God loves us irrationally. God loves us. He's crazy in love. He's like west towards Kate. He thinks she's perfect. She's not perfect. I won't go into the details there. So this is God, and this is God to us. This is what Hosea did to Gomer, but it's what God did to us. Verse 14. Therefore, I'm now going to allure her. I will lead her into the desert. I'll speak tenderly to her. To who? To the prostitute. The one who had sex with whoever she wanted for just a few bucks. To the one who said, oh, to God, oh, you can keep all that really good stuff because I don't want it. I can take care of myself. I got it handled. I don't need God. I don't need anybody else. Says, I will speak tenderly to her. I will give her back her vineyards. I will make the valley of Achor a door of hope. There she will sing as in the days of her youth, as in the day she came up out of Egypt. In that day, declares the Lord, you will call me my husband. You will no longer call me my master. I will remove the names of the Baals from her lips. No longer will their names be invoked. In that day I will make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field and the birds of the air and the creatures that move along the ground. Bow and sword and battle I will abolish from the land so that all may lay down in safety. I will betroth you to me forever. I will betroth you in righteousness and justice and love and compassion. I will betroth you in faithfulness. And you will acknowledge the Lord. In that day I will respond, declares the Lord. I will respond to the skies, and they'll respond to the earth. The earth will respond to the grain, the new wine and oil. And they will respond to Jezreel. I will plant her for myself in the land. I will show my love to the one I called, not my loved one. And I will say to those called, not my people, you are my people. And they will say, you are my God. God's love. It's you can't explain it. God loves the unlovable. God loves us. You know, Romans 3, it says, yeah, 5:3, says, very rarely would somebody die for a righteous man. For a righteous man, he might possibly dare to die. But God shows his love for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And God said to the prostitutes and the sinners, he said, I'm going to seek you out. I'm going to find you. And I'm going to woo you back. I'm going to love you. I'm going to send love notes to you. And God did that to us in so many ways. He sent people into our lives. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for that. And then Hosea 3, as with God, so with Hosea. Because Hosea, in this sense, represents God. And in this sense, Gomer is us. We sold God out for very, very stupid things. So the Lord said to me, go show your love to your wife again. And if you're Hosea, you're saying, are you serious? So I'm going to go to the house of prostitution. And I'm going to say, I love you. Please come back and live with me. That's what you're saying? Alright? Now what are the chances that Gomer would be faithful to him? Not very good. Not very good. That's how much God loves us. That's how much God loves us. As Hosea did to that prostitute Gomer, so God did for us. That's God's grace. Go and show your love to your wife again. And by the way, he did not divorce her. The Jews had the right to divorce somebody. If anybody had a good reason to divorce his wife, how about Hosea? All right? And God was incredibly patient with us. He had every right to say, forget that one. Love her as the Lord loves the Israelites, though they turn to other gods and love the sacred raisin cakes. I don't know about if you guys worship sacred raisin cakes. Maybe you don't struggle with that. But maybe it's that sacred, really fancy car, or those nice clothes, or that boy or man or woman in the world who's really being nice to you and trying to, you know, lure you in, whatever it is. So I bought her for 15 shekels of silver. He had to pay for her. Basically, I assume that's the price of having sex with her, basically. I assume that was the price of the... I assume, anyway. I don't know. I really don't know. I don't know what it cost back then. I don't even know what it costs now. I have absolutely no idea. No idea. So I bought her for 15 shekels of silver, which is about 6 ounces of silver. That would be, you know, about $30 an ounce. You know, around, you know, $350. All right. 15 shekels of silver and about a homer and a lithic of barley. And I told her, you are to live with me many days. You must not be a prostitute or to be intimate with any man, and I will live with you. For the Israelites will live many days without a king or a prince, without sacrifice or sacred stones, without ephod or idol. Afterward, Israelites will return and seek the Lord their God and David their king. And this is a prophecy of the kingdom of God and the Messiah and us coming back to God through the Messiah. Because David their king is clearly a reference to the Messiah. They will return and seek the Lord their God and David their king. They will come trembling to the Lord and to his blessing in the last days. That is such an encouraging message. Now, here's kind of the outline of Hosea. Hosea 1 through 3 is sort of the theology of the book. Basically, the message is God loves the unlovable. God's love is irrational. It doesn't make sense. God's love is unbelievable. God wants us back, and he'll do anything he can to get us back. And then the rest of the book is kind of like the practicals, right? Here's how you got in the mess that you got into, and here's how you can get out of it. That's a common pattern. For example, you know, several of the books of... All right, so I go back. Yeah, several of Paul's letters are kind of like that. For example, Ephesians chapter 1 and 2 is the theology. And chapter 3 through 6 is kind of the practicals. Kind of like that. So Hosea chapter 1 through 3, not 1 through 2, theology. And chapter 4 through 13 is application. Now, it's already 8:37, so I don't have a lot of time for this. But, you know, we can do another 10 minutes. We can go another 10 minutes, right? Yeah, all right, we can go another 10. All right, great. So we're going to do that. All right, oops, this thing is sometimes going backwards, sometimes going forward. Now it's going forward. Great. So I just want to pull out a few points of things to avoid and things to kind of do, all right? So he's kind of reviewing for them how they got in this bad situation. Hosea 4, 6 through 9. Says, my people are destroyed from lack of knowledge. Because they've rejected knowledge, I also reject you as my priests. Because you have ignored the law of your God, I will also ignore your children. The more priests increase, the more they sinned against me, and they exchanged their glory for something disgraceful. They feed on the sins of my people and relish their wickedness, and will be like people, like priests. I will punish both of them for their ways and repay them for their deeds. So the leaders of God's people were not seeking the word of God. They were not studying the scriptures. They were not taking the time to deepen their understanding. So a little encouragement to you, or warning, if you will, is we have to constantly be taking it deeper in our knowledge of the word. How are you doing on that? Are you learning new things? Are you delving ever more deeply into God's scriptures? But the people died spiritually because of lack of knowledge of God's word. And then chapter 5, verse 2 through 5. The rebels are deep in slaughter. Ooh, ouch. I'll discipline all of them. I know all about Ephraim. Israel's not hidden from me. Ephraim, by the way, that's another name for the northern kingdom. Ephraim, you've now turned to prostitution. Israel's corrupt. Their deeds do not permit them to return to their God. A spirit of prostitution is in their heart. They do not acknowledge the Lord. Israel's arrogance testifies against them. The Israelites, even Ephraim, stumble in their sin. Judah also stumbles with them. When they go with their flocks and herds to seek the Lord, they will not find Him. He has withdrawn Himself from them. So another problem is their kind of spiritual prostitution. They had pride and they had arrogance. And they would give their attention to whoever would ask for it. A spirit of prostitution. Now, if you said to these people, you're a bunch of prostitutes, they say, me? Never. But in their mind, they were valuing things. See, God wants a pure, unadulterated love, right? What unadulterated, right? That comes from the word adultery, right? Unadulterated love means love that's not mixed. God wants our full love. The world is garbage.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so another problem is they were drawn to the world, to the things of the world. They prostituted themselves. And because of that, basically, they lost their relationship with God. Hosea 6, 4 through 6 says, what can I do with you, Ephraim? What can I do with you, Judah? Your love is like the morning mist, like the early dew that disappears. Therefore I cut you in pieces. Ouch. Because spiritually, he cut you in pieces with his prophets. He's, you know, they're coming and they're telling them to repent. Alright? Therefore I cut you in pieces with my prophets. I killed you with the words of my mouth. My judgments flashed like lightning upon you. For I desire mercy, not sacrifice, and acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings. See, for a while, they were fired up about God. They were so excited. But Christianity got boring. In the words of Revelation chapter 3, they lost their first love. And you know what? They were just doing religion. That's really what it came down to. Right? He says here, and this is a great memory verse there. I'd suggest you consider Hosea 6:6. For I desire mercy, not sacrifice, and acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings. See, they were being religious. They were going to church. They were going to Bible talk. They were showing up to Thursday devotionals. But they lost their zeal for God. They were bored with God. They were bored with the Bible. They were bored with prayer. They're bored with discipling one another. They're going through the motions. So Hosea is warning us, don't let that happen to you. We need to be rekindling that love. It's not a lack of love on God's part. In fact, I'd say one way to rekindle that love is just read the book of Hosea sometime.
Yeah.
Read it again and again. So I suggest that as a possible memory verse. Hosea 6:6. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. An acknowledgement of God rather than the blood of lambs. All right. Next, Hosea 7, 8 through 13. All right. Worldliness. Hosea 7, 8 through 13. Oh, thank you, Jan. Got to forward the thing there. There you go. Almost done. Ephraim mixes with the nations. Ephraim is a flat cake, not turned over. Now, I have no idea what that means. It's a flat cake not turned over. If you can explain that to me, go ahead and explain it to me later. You're a flat cake not turned over.
Half baked.
Okay, so you're like brown on one side and white, uncooked on the other. All right, I get it. So you're half with God and half with the world. All right, we got it. Half with God, half with the world. Great. All right. Not great to be that way, but at least we understand it now. Foreigners sap his strength, but he does not realize it. See, we've got too deep of roots in the world. We've got too close alliances with worldly people and with worldly things. And God calls us to be holy. And see, their spiritual energy is being sapped because they were mixing with the nations. Foreigners sap his strength, but he does not realize that his hair is sprinkled with gray, but he does not notice. Israel's arrogance testifies against him, but despite all this, he does not return to the Lord his God or search for him. Ephraim is like a dove, easily deceived and senseless. Now calling to Egypt, now turning to Assyria, now turning to such and such kind of music, now turning to such and such entertainment, or buying this house, or whatever it might be. Whatever it might be. This job, this place to go, this exciting thing, which is not sinful in and of itself, but giving yourself over to it. For them, it was foreign alliances. They were relying on Egypt. They were relying on Aram. They were relying on Syria instead of relying on God. Hosea 8, verse 7. They sow the wind and they reap the whirlwind. You know, if we sow to the world, we're going to reap the things of the world. Don't do it. Hosea tells us, don't do it. Hosea 12, verse 8. Ephraim boasts, I am very rich. I have become wealthy. With all my wealth, they will not find in me any iniquity or sin. I'm successful. I've got a good job. It's going good for me. Amen. God wants you to have that, probably. All right? Nothing wrong with that. But true wealth comes from God. Put your treasures in heaven, not in the earth. All right, now I'm going to finish up with the encouraging part. Because God reminds us that the antidote to all this is to understand, know, and experience His love. Hosea 11, verse 1. When Israel was a child, I loved him. And out of Egypt, I called my son. All of us were called out of Egypt. We too were enslaved. It's interesting. In Matthew 2:15, he quotes this. Because he called Jesus as a child out of Egypt. As he called Israel as a nation out of Egypt. But he called us out of Egypt. And what did he call us? He called us his son. God called us out of the world. When we were mired in prostitution, selling our bodies to the highest bidder, and the bidders were not all that high, God sent Hosea to love us, to woo us, to bring us back into relationship with him. Out of Israel, I called my son. Hosea 11, verse 8. How can I give you up, Ephraim? How can I hand you over, Israel? God weeps and mourns over us when we don't seek Him with all our heart. God is emotional. It's like Jesus over Jerusalem. He said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. I long to gather you in like a hen gathers in her chicks, but you wouldn't have me. God is emotional. How can I give you up, Paul? How can I give you up, Abby? I can't. I can't stop loving you. How can I treat you like Adma? How can I make you like Zeboiim? My heart is changed within me. All my compassion is aroused. I will not carry out my fierce anger, nor will I turn and devastate Ephraim. For I am God and not man, the Holy One among you. I will not come in wrath. They'll follow the Lord. He will roar like a lion. And when he roars, his children will come trembling from the west. God will not give us up. Hosea 12, verse 9 says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt. I'll make you live in tents again, as in the days of your appointed feasts. I spoke to the prophets, and he's reminding them of the Feast of Tabernacles, which is a celebration of an intimate faith with God. It's a celebration of the time they wandered in the wilderness, and the cloud was there during the day and the pillar of fire by night, and God lived in the Holy of Holies. Basically saying, I want to call you back to a deep, intimate relationship with me. I spoke to the prophets. I gave them many visions and told parables to them. You know, God is calling us back. God wants a relationship with us. All right. Let's finish up in Hosea 13. Words of hope and encouragement. Actually, let me read 13, 4 through 6. But I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt. You shall acknowledge no God but me, no Savior except me. I care for you in the desert, in the land of the burning heat. When I fed them, they were satisfied. And when they were satisfied, they became proud and they forgot me. See, God wants to bless you. But don't let His blessings be a stumbling block for you. Don't let the fact that God give you a great relationship or, you know, good things or good job, don't allow that to lure you away and to forget God who gave it to you. All right, Hosea 14, words of hope and deliverance, verse 1 and 2. Remember, O Israel, return rather, O Israel, to the Lord your God. Your sins have been your downfall. Take words with you and return to the Lord. Say to Him, forgive all our sins. Receive us graciously that we may offer the fruit of our lips. Assyria cannot save us. We will not mount war horses. We will never again say, our gods, to what our own hands have made. For in you, the fatherless, find compassion. We need to repent of worldliness. We need to come back into a relationship with God. And God says, I will heal their waywardness, and I will love them freely, for my anger has turned away from them. I'll be like the dew for Israel. He will blossom like a lily, like a cedar in Lebanon. He will send down his roots. His young shoots will grow. His splendor will be like an olive tree, his fragrance like the cedar of Lebanon. Men will dwell again in his shade. He will flourish like the grain. He will blossom like a vine. His fame will be like the wine of Lebanon. O Ephraim, what more have I to do with idols? I will answer him and care for him. I am like a green pine tree. Your fruitfulness comes from me. Who is wise? It's those who will seek a relationship with God. Thank you very much. Oh, wow.
Thanks, John. I think what really stood out to me was just early in the early part in Hosea 2, how God just has crazy love for us.
Yes.
You know, that even when we prostitute ourselves to the world, God still comes after us and says He's going to lure us. You know, He sends us love letters through people, through things happening in our lives. Like you're talking about how you can make Him dwell in tents. Like Ephraim was boasting about how he was rich. God says, I'm going to take that away so it's not a distraction, you know. So God can be number one in Ephraim's life again. And I just appreciate that about God. And so let's close out with prayer. God, thank you so much.